been here for Nick. And Nick alone. He was sure of it. There was no other reason for them to have attacked. The only question was, why? Chapter 8. Nick froze in front of Ash's shiny black car. No, not car. Friggin' Porsche 911 Turbo. Talk about epic. His heart actually started pumping like a freight train at the prospect of riding in it. How can this be your car? Ash shot him a duh stare.
Well, I wrote a really big check that didn't bounce to the dealer, and then the most amazing thing happened. The salesman gave me the keys and let me take it home. It was like magic.
Nick gave him a peeved glare. Only I'm allowed to be that sarcastic.
Trust me, Nick. I've got many more years of practice at it than you have. Now hop in.
Hop in? Dude, are you out of your ever-loving mind? I can't touch this. I might leave a fingerprint or something.
Oh, the horror. Guess I'll have to trade the piece of junk in and get a new one if that happens. By the way, don't breathe on the upholstery or I may have to gut you.
Ash slid into the car without missing a beat. Even though Ash had been kidding, Nick hesitated. He'd only seen cars like this in posters and online. The price tag for it was more money than his mom made in 15 years, at least. People lived in houses that cost less. He lived in a house that was probably cheaper than the tires on this thing. Dang, what would it be like to own something so fine?
Nick, get in. I don't have all night.
Biting his lip, Nick pulled his shirt tail up so that he wouldn't tarnish the pristine black paint with a paw print. Ash had already put his backpack in the floorboard. Man, this was such a cool car. Careful not to leave a shoe mark on the tan interior, he got in and shut the door.
Are you a drug dealer?
No,
Ash let out a short laugh.
I'm a Wrangler.
A what? Ash started the engine with the key on the left side of the steering wheel. How weird was that?
I manage people.
What kind of people?
People like you. Hard-headed, stubborn, irritating, and smart-mouthed.
He shifted into high gear and kicked it. Nick grabbed the door handle and held on for his life as Ash pulled into traffic at supersonic speed.
Relax, kid. I'm not about to dent this car.
Nick wasn't so sure about that. You like to drive fast, don't you? How many tickets have you gotten, anyway? Ash didn't answer. Probably for the best, since Nick didn't want to end up as a hood ornament on someone else's vehicle. Last thing he needed to do was distract Ash while he was driving at warp speed, or attempting to, anyway. Nick cringed as Ash weaved between two huge semis. God, do your parents know how you drive? And where did you get your license anyway, the blue light special at Kmart?
Ash laughed. Who says I have a license?
Nick let out a cry of alarm.
Relax, Nick. Remember, I have evil Jedi powers. Nothing's going to touch us.
He downshifted, and they shot forward like a bullet. I think I'd rather take my chances with the zombie. Stop! He swore the car actually left the ground to avoid being slammed by a car pulling out. Yeah, evil Jedi powers, indeed. He looked over at Ash, who was driving through the dark night with his sunglasses still in place. How did you get those powers anyway?
They were a gift on my 21st birthday.
You're that old? Nick would have sworn he wasn't any older than 18 or 19.
Ash laughed again. Somewhat older than that.
So what did you do for the gift? Sell your soul or something? The humor fled his face.
Something like that.
This was getting good. Nick would kill to have the kind of powers Ash did. Who'd you sell it to, the devil? Now, with anyone else, that would be a stupid question. But since Nick had seen what Ash could do, he knew Ash had gotten them from somewhere other than the local Walmart. Ash paused before he answered Nick's question. He didn't like talking or even thinking about his past for a multitude of reasons. But his ownership wasn't something that was that big a secret, since most of the people he knew had sold their souls to the only person who could control him.
"I'm owned by a goddess, Nick."
"Which one?"
"Artemis. Ever heard of her?"
Nick scratched his ear. "Greek goddess of the moon, right?"
"The moon's associated with her, but Selene is actually the goddess of the moon. Artemis is the goddess of the hunt."
"And what does she hunt?"
"Most days, me,"
Ash said under his breath. Clearing his throat, he spoke louder.
"She's basically retired now. Most of the ancient gods are only powerful when they're worshipped by followers."
"Most?" "Yeah. Some, like Acheron, didn't need followers to charge their powers. They were the really dangerous ones because their powers never waned. And unfortunately, Artemis could and did tap into his powers when it suited her to. But lucky for the world, she really didn't care about using them except against Acheron himself." When he didn't clarify, Nick asked another question. "Are you one of the ones who's weak?"
"I never said I was a god."
But somehow, Nick seemed to sense what he was. Another thing that made him different from everyone else. Nick fell quiet as he digested Ash's comments. Ash didn't say it, but there was something about him that was so powerful, he could almost feel it in the marrow of his bones. If he wasn't an ancient god, he was something equal to it. "Well, you know, you haven't told me what you are, Ash."
"Just think of me as a powerful immortal and you'll be fine."
Nick cocked his brow as he zoned in on one word in particular. "Immortal?"
"Yeah."
"So how old are you really? He must be totally ancient. 200-300 years? Ash gave a testy smirk.
"Over 11,000.
Nick's mouth fell open in disbelief. It wasn't possible. He could not be that old. Bullshit!
"What's your language, kid?"
"Okay, bull crap. There's no way. We didn't even have people back then. You're yanking my chain." Ash shook his head.
"I assure you, we did. I was even on a first-name basis with some of them."
Nick remained still as that sank in, and he tried to imagine the world Ash must have come from. What would people have been like back then? Was Ash just full of total garbage? "You're really not kidding, are you?" Nick asked.
"Dead serious."
Still, he couldn't believe it. Could people really be immortal? He'd seen the movies and read the books, but how? Are you a vampire or something? What made you immortal?
"Really good DNA."
Nick rolled his eyes. Ash's glib answers were starting to irritate him. He wanted an answer, and he wanted one now. "Oh, come on! I have to know about the hoodoo voodoo that you do. Most of all, I want to know how I can become immortal. Well, not at my age, because that would suck, but in a few years when I'm filled out and in my prime." He grinned at Ash. "Make me immortal." Ash wasn't charmed.
"Look, Nick, I don't like talking about my powers, and not a lot of people know what I can do. I'm trusting you with a secret, and I expect you to keep it. If you can't..."
He tilted his head down as if he was looking at him over the rim of his sunglasses.
"Well, I'm sure your mom's going to miss you."
"Not half as much as I'd miss me if you killed me." He blinked like a girl and leaned against Ash's shoulder. "Please don't hurt me, Ash. Please. I don't want to die while I'm still a virgin. At least get me laid before you kill me. Which, according to my mom, I can't do until I'm married, and I can't do that until I finish college. So you have to wait a good 10 years before you snuff me. Deal?" Ash shoved him back onto his side of the car.
"You're really not right, are you?"
"Yeah, I know. It was all the paint chips I ate as a kid. They were good, but chromosomally damaging." Ash let out an audible sigh as he forced himself not to laugh at Nick's antics. He was really beginning to like the kid a lot more than he should. There was just something about him that was infectious.
10 years, huh?
Yeah. You can kill me when I'm 24, provided I'm not still a virgin, but not a day before that.
All right. It's a deal. Provided you keep your trap shut.
Trap is nailed shut, sir.
But at 24...
Ash let his voice trail off. I'm all yours, babe. Ash shook his head.
I don't intimidate you at all, do I?
Well, when you chased me through Kirian's house, I did wet my pants a bit. Guess I'm not housebroken after all. My mom will be so disappointed after all she went through to potty train me. But once you let me live, your big mistake, now I know you think I'm too cute and fluffy to kill. It was really hard to be agitated at someone with that kind of humor. And in all honesty, it was nice to be around someone who wasn't trying to prove himself, wet himself, or posture around him. It had been a long time since someone who knew he wasn't human had treated him like one.
You are cute and fluffy, but never forget, kid, that I'm a carnivore from a time and place where we had to kill and skin our food in order to eat it.
Nick's eyes widened as he tried to imagine Ash dressed like a goth caveman in a studded black loincloth, chasing down saber-toothed tigers and killing them with a spear. Did they have saber-toothed tigers 11,000 years ago? Did people have loincloths, or did they hunt naked? Dang, his teachers were right. Some of that trivial crap could come in handy. But that wasn't the point of this conversation, nor the point of what Ash was telling him. You just like to scare people, don't you?
As much as you like to annoy them, and for the same exact reason.
It kept people from getting too close. Nick did it so that others wouldn't mock him, or so that when they did, it didn't hurt as much. What was Ash trying to protect himself from? It was definitely something to think about. Ash pulled up to the curb in front of Nick's house, which looked all the more dilapidated after he'd been in Kirian's neighborhood. To Ash's credit, he didn't react to the ramshackle house in any way. Nick gave a low whistle as he saw a couple of people on the street stop and stare at the car. Man, my neighbors must be freaking out. First, I get picked up by a Lexus, and now I'm being dropped off in a Porsche. It's a wonder they're not calling New Orleans' finest to report suspicious activity. Ash scoffed as he turned the car off.
I think the LEOs have more important things to worry about tonight than the cars coming to your house.
Nick frowned at the word he didn't understand. LEOs?
Law enforcement officers.
Ah, cool anagram.
Acronym,
Ash corrected. But this time when he spoke, his accent was extremely thick, with the first part of the word coming from deep and low in his throat like a growl. It was a really cool sound. Wait, say that word again.
Acronym.
And poof, Ash now sounded like anyone else on the street. It's so awesome that you can toss out your accent. How do you do that?
Lots of practice. Now, if you don't mind, I need to dump you out so I can get down to my business.
Which is...
wrangling people, which right now is you. Get out, Nick.
Nick opened the door and rolled out of the car. Ash grabbed his backpack and followed him up the short, crumbling walkway that was overgrown with grass and pebbles, not to mention a few cockroaches that scattered out of his way. Some of them ran up under the plant Bubba had sent to him. Trying not to think about the roaches, Nick barely made it into the door of his house before his mom threw it open and grabbed him into a tight hug. Arm, 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 he said quickly as she heard him. She released him immediately. I'm so sorry, Boo. I was just so scared and then to see you. I could beat your butt blue, boy. Don't you ever worry me like that again, you hear me? Nick rubbed his hand over his injured arm, which was still stinging from her hug. You know, I hear they have medication for those kind of vicious mood swings, Ma. Maybe you should consider taking some? She scoffed at him. Don't you dare get lippy with me after what you put me through today. You're lucky you're not grounded over this stunt. If you'd been any place other than work, you would be. She turned back toward the door to close it and froze as she saw Acheron on the porch. Her face went white, as she took in the size of him.
"It's okay, Mom. He's a friend of Mr. Hunter's who brought me home."
Acheron held up Nick's backpack for her to see.
"I was just carrying this in for him, Mrs. Gaucher. Sorry I startled you."
His mom smiled as she caught herself gawking.
"It's okay. I just..."
Ash smiled.
"Yeah, I know. It's a hazard of the height and clothes. I tend to freak out a lot of people."
Not to mention that lethal aura that sizzled in the air around him. But Nick was beginning to get used to that.
"Do you work for Mr. Hunter, too?"
his mom asked. Ash set his backpack down by the door.
"No, ma'am, we're just old friends."
She smiled. "You don't look old enough to have old friends."
Nick snorted at her making the same assumption he had. "Trust me, Mom, he's a lot older than he looks."
"Well, thank you for bringing my baby home, I appreciate it."
"No problem."
Acheron turned toward Nick.
"Keep your nose clean, kid. I'll see you around."
"Thanks, Ash."
He inclined his head before he left. His mom locked the door and moved Nick's backpack away from the threshold so that they wouldn't trip over it.
"He's a bit peculiar, isn't he?"
"You don't know the half of it."
"So how did your first day with Mr. Hunter go?"
"It was all right. Aside from the zombies, Rosa's lunacy, and Acheron, but no need to completely terrify her. Only one of them needed to freak out at a time."
"Good. Now, I better get ready for work."
She headed for her room. Nick pulled her to a stop.
"I don't think so."
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, I want you to quit. Tonight."
Sighing, she twisted her arm out of his hold.
"Stop with the nonsense, Nick. You know I can't quit. We need the money."
"No, Ma, really. Mr. Hunter's gonna pay me $4,000 a month to work for him." Her jaw went slack as her eyes narrowed in anger.
"Doing what?"
"Running errands, like he said."
"Oh, no, no, no. I'm not having any of that. No one pays that kind of money for running legal errands. I want you to quit first thing tomorrow."
"No, Mom, it's all legal, I promise." Still, she refused to believe him.
"Not for that kind of money, it's not. What kind of fool do you take me for? I wasn't born yesterday.
Mom, listen, please. He really is loaded like you've never seen before. Ash told me that Kirian thinks I'm underpaid. The guy has no concept of how much money he's paying me, really.
No one is that loaded, Nick, that they just throw $48,000 a year at a kid for running errands. Think about it."
A day ago, he'd have been right there with her. But after today, for some reason, he believed in Kirian and his intentions.
"Yeah, he is. Trust me. I saw the house, and you ain't never seen nothing like it, so you can quit dancing. I'll be making enough working part-time that you won't have to do anything but stay home."
Just like they'd always dreamed of. His mom hesitated.
"I don't know. Please, Mom, trust me."
Her features softened as she cupped his cheek in her hand.
"Tell you what. You work for him for a couple weeks, and after you get your first paycheck, then we'll see, okay?"
Nick curled his lip as he realized her tactic. She was shutting him down and not really listening to a word he said.
"Why don't you believe me?"
"I think you misunderstood him."
"I didn't."
She brushed his hair back from his face.
"We'll see, Nick. We'll see."
God, he hated that tone she used. It was so condescending. And what she was actually saying is that he didn't know what he was talking about. He wasn't stupid. Whatever. He was too disgusted to keep arguing when it was obviously futile. She went to go dress.
"I left you some eggs and cheese on the stove in case you're hungry."
Nick cringed at her words. He should have thought to bring her some of Rosa's gumbo. She wouldn't have forgotten about him. Next time.
"I'm full if you want some more. Kirian's housekeeper fed me about an hour ago."
"Was it good?" she called from her room.
"Yeah."
She poked her head out of the door.
"Better than my cooking?"
He started to say yes, which was the truth, but self-preservation kicked in. He'd made the mistake of saying Manyara made better biscuits once, and his mom hadn't taken it well. No, no one's gumbo can touch yours. She winked at him before she closed the door. Nick let out a relieved breath that he'd sailed past that landmine without getting his butt kicked over it. It wasn't often he passed those tests. I'm getting better at dealing with women. Today, his mom. Tomorrow, an actual girlfriend. Like Cody. Maybe I should call her. Since he hadn't seen her at school, he still had her Nintendo. You know you don't have her number. Oh, yeah, that was a problem. One he'd fix first thing tomorrow when he went to school. And this time, he wouldn't wuss out. He'd actually ask her to go have beignets with him. Nick headed to the counter and picked up his worn-out copy of Hammer's Slammers, then headed to his room to read. He was just skipping ahead when his mom pushed back the blanket. I'm heading out. You need anything before I go? I'm good. Okay. Manny said she'd come by later and check on you. I'll be home a little after dawn. Nick set his book down as he thought about her taking the streetcars to and from work while more zombies could be out on the street. His mom would barely be a snack for them. Would you mind if I went into work with you tonight? You need to rest. Yeah, but with all this weird he caught himself before he said something she'd ground him over. Stuff going on. I'd feel better if you weren't by yourself. A slow smile spread across her beautiful face. You gonna be my protector? That's my job, isn't it? All right. Grab a jacket and I'll tell Manny. Nick did as she ordered. She didn't often let him go to the club on school nights, but he'd meant what he said. He didn't like his mom out by herself. New Orleans could be dangerous on its best nights, and since she was all he had, he'd guard her with every breath in his body. By the time he had his jacket on over his bad arm and had reached the porch, Manny was outside with her.
Why don't you borrow my car, Cher?
His mom hesitated.
You know I don't like being responsible for other people's property. Besides, it's hard and expensive to park it in the quarter. Bourbon Street's already blocked off. Then park it on Royal, please, Charisse. I feel better if you two weren't roaming the streets in the wee hours of the night by yourselves. Think upon Nicky.
His mom looked at him before she nodded. Manyara handed her the keys, then kissed Nick on the cheek.
You wash over your mom.
Always. His mom smiled at her.
I'll leave the keys on the counter so that you can get them in the morning.
Sounds good. His mom turned and led him down the steps to where Manyara's dark blue Taurus waited next to their beat-up red Yugo that needed repairs they couldn't afford at present. Nick got in first. It was weird to be in Manny's car without her. Normally, they only rode in it whenever there was a hurricane coming and they needed to evacuate when their own car was broken down. Or Nick needed stitches. Not wanting to think about that, he buckled himself in while his mom started the car. She ruffled his hair.
You know, since I have the car, you could stay home.
Nope, you still have to walk from Royal to Bourbon. She shook her head.
My fierce little bulldog.
I'm bigger than you.
I'm meaner.
She always said that, but it wasn't true. His mom was the kindest person he'd ever met. It was one of the reasons why he was so protective of her. In many ways, she was still a doe-eyed innocent who only saw the good in people. Impossible to believe, but she even defended his dad. And there really was nothing good to be said about that man. He was like the devil himself. Closing his eyes, he listened to the Zydeco playing low on the car radio. That and Elvis were his mom's favorite kinds of music. Zydeco, she said, because it spoke to her Cajun roots. Elvis, because it reminded her of being a little girl and playing with her cousins and sister. Apparently, they used to get together and try to out-Elvis each other. And that thought made him grimace as the Mojo Nixon song Elvis Is Everywhere started echoing in his head. It'd take him days to get that to stop torturing him. And it didn't make sense that they impersonated Elvis since they were all girls, but far from him to interject sanity into anything, especially after the day he'd had. They reached Royal Street and parked two blocks from her club. Nick got out and scanned the street where tourists were walking, some stopping to browse in the windows of the antique and jewelry stores that lined the street. They were only a few blocks away from Liza's store. She should be closing up right about now and getting her receipts together for a deposit. He walked his mom to her club, then hesitated at the back door as she knocked for admittance.
"Do you mind if I go check on Miss Liza?"
She gave him a suspicious scowl.
"Is that really what you're doing?"
"I promise, I don't like her dropping cash at the bank alone." His mom kissed him on the cheek.
"I don't know how I raised such a great son. Gone, but don't be gone long."
"I won't." He nodded to John as he let his mom in, then reversed his tracks back to Royal Street and over to the doll store. Just as he thought, Liza was at the counter batching her credit card machine. She looked up and smiled at him as he knocked on the window. Crossing the shop, she came to the door to let him in.
"Well, isn't this a surprise? What are you doing here, sweetie?"
"I came to work with my mom and just wanted to see if you needed me to walk with you to the bank." She locked the door behind him.
"How thoughtful of you, and yes, I'd love to have company. I'm just about done. You want a cola or something while I finish?"
"You got any cookies?"
"Always."
Nick skipped around her to go to the back room where she usually kept her fresh-baked cookies. Oh, yeah, now this is what he was talking about. He didn't know what she put in them, but they melted in his mouth and left him aching to eat his weight in them.
"By the way," he called out as he grabbed a handful, "thanks for sending some to the hospital. They made my day." "You're quite welcome, Mr. Gaucher. Have you been to Kieran's yet?"
"Was there earlier." He came out of the room to stand with her behind the counter. "Met a friend of his named Ash Parthen something I can't pronounce."
She went completely still.
Nick wondered what that meant. "You know him too?"
"I do."
She tucked her bills into the blue envelope she used to hold the deposit money. "Any idea how to say his last name?"
"With great respect," she winked at him. "It's Parthenopeus. Acheron Parthenopeus."
"Yeah, that's a mouthful. I don't think I even want to know how to spell it. Can you imagine having to learn that in kindergarten? And I thought Gaucher was hard. I was almost 10 before I stopped putting an SH in it." She laughed. Nick had just finished the last of his cookies when she reached for her jacket. Shrugging it on, she went to set the alarm while he waited by the door. As soon as it was beeping, she let him out and locked it tight. Liza wrapped her arms around his good one.
"You know, I miss these walks with you. Any chance I can steal you back from Kieran?"
"You'll have to talk to him about it. Since he paid for the hospital, he kinda owns me."
"I'm sure he pays better, too."
"A little bit, but he doesn't bake me chocolate chip cookies." Laughing, she stopped at the ATM and made her drop. Nick escorted her back to her car and waved to her as she got in and left him on the street in front of her store. He was just about to head back to the club when he heard a strange sound coming out of the alley that cut between her store and the one next to it. It sounded like a dog. No, it was the same sound he'd heard outside of Kieran's house earlier. The sound of zombies hunting him. A chill wind blew against his skin, and he could swear the sky darkened. All the lights on the street failed as several car alarms went off. What the? Something came out of the alley so fast he couldn't even identify it as it rammed into him and knocked him back. Chapter 9. It struck him hard in the chest and knocked him down. Rolling with it, he came to his feet, ready to fight, even though his shoulder was throbbing again. Dang, would it never stop hurting? His stomach knotted as he recognized Stone. At first, he thought Stone was a zombie, but as he looked at him, he realized he was as normal as Stone could be, which really wasn't saying much. "What are you doing?" Nick had to force himself to stop there and not let fly the particularly nasty insult that was stinging his tongue. But he wouldn't give Stone the satisfaction of letting him know how rattled he'd made him. Stone laughed, shoving Nick back. "Did I scare you, little girl?" All right, gloves off. You're such an epic dork. Stone grabbed him in a grip so fierce it didn't seem human.
I'm gonna make you eat those words, Gaucher, along with your teeth.
Nick tried to break free. Stone increased the pressure on his neck until his vision dulled and his ears buzzed. What kind of Vulcan kung fu death grip was he using? Nick was like a puppy someone had grabbed by the scruff of his neck. His body had just gone limp, and he couldn't do anything other than dangle in Stone's grip. It was highly embarrassing, and it seriously pissed him off.
Let him go, Stone. Now.
Stone's grip tightened as Caleb Malphus stepped out of the shadows. The quarterback and star of their high school football team, Caleb had all the power and popularity Stone craved. And luckily, none of Stone's stupidity or cruelty. Stone shoved Nick away.
I was just having fun with him.
Caleb's dark hair was brushed back from his face, showing just how perfect his features really were as he eyed Stone with malice.
Really?
Well, why don't you run along before I decide to have some fun with you? Stone's gaze narrowed.
We're not at school, Malphus. I'm not the same person out here that I am there.
Caleb invaded his personal space. He stood so close that their noses were almost touching.
Neither am I, Blakemore. Trust me, the animal in you is no match for the demon in me. Now move along before I give you a taste of what I can do to you without the football pads to dull my blows.
Curling his lip, Stone blinked and stepped back. He raked a sneer over Nick that promised him another round whenever Caleb wasn't here to interfere.
You're not worth getting my knuckles busted anyway.
With one last sullen glare, he put his hands in his pockets and crossed the street. Nick glared at the punk.
You better be glad my arm's in a sling, otherwise you'd be missing some teeth, butt munch.
Is that the best insult you can deal?
Nick turned his fury toward Caleb. You want a taste of it? Caleb laughed.
I like your spirit, Gaucher. It's a shame you're not still on my team.
Nick scowled as he sensed Caleb meant something other than football.
What are you doing here?
I was on my way to the Triple B. It's almost time for Mark and Bubba's class on zombie defense and execution.
It's the most entertaining thing since that time Stone set himself on fire in chem class.
Nick laughed at the memory. Stone had been trying to show off for Casey when he knocked over a beaker full of something highly flammable that had exploded and ignited his sleeve. Unfortunately, Ms. Wilkins had been fast with the fire extinguisher, and all Stone had lost were his eyebrows and some dignity. Half the class had been rooting for a Freddy Kruegering of Stone, but luck hadn't been on their side, and he'd survived to continue being a waking nightmare for all of them.
You want to come along?
Caleb asked him. As much fun as it sounded, he hesitated.
I'm supposed to head back to my mom's job,
because she would absolutely kill him if he didn't.
And Miss Bubba's zombie roadkill recipes? Come on, Nick. You know you have to see this. It's must-view entertainment on an infinite scale of epic awesomeness.
Caleb pulled out his phone and handed it to him.
Give her a shout and ask her if you can go.
Nick wasn't so sure about this. Caleb hadn't exactly been overly friendly to him these last few years. In fact, he'd basically ignored him. So why would he care if he went or not? Unless this was a trick moment, like when the cool guy asked Carrie White to the prom, just so they could drench her in blood and laugh at her. Yeah, I'd look stupid in a prom dress. Worse, he didn't have the psychic powers to attack them back. Caleb frowned at him.
What are you waiting for?
Lightning to strike him? 'Cause let's face it, that was much more likely to happen than the most popular guy at school inviting him to watch an infamous Bubbasode.
Why are you being so nice to me?
A sly grin curled Caleb's lips.
My enemy's enemy is my friend.
Who's your enemy?
Caleb shrugged.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you, and
I know what you're thinking. How can a guy as popular as me have any enemies or problems, right?
Yeah, basically. I haven't noticed you being slammed into anyone's locker lately.
That's because you're not around me all the time. Trust me. Life's not easy for anyone. Everyone has scars they're afraid to show, and we all get slammed headfirst into a proverbial locker from time to time by someone bigger and badder.
Right. He was more than sure that Caleb's idea of a bad day was no match for his.
What? Your parents ground you for driving your mom's new car, or did you forget to tell the maid to pick up your room?
Caleb didn't respond to his sarcasm.
You going to call your mom or not? No real sweat off my nose one way or another. I'm just trying to be neighborly.
I swear if I get drenched in pig's blood, I'm going after you with an axe. Taking the phone from Caleb's hand, Nick punched in the number at the club. Tiffany answered on the sixth ring.
Hey, Tiff, it's Nick. Is my mom nearby?
Sure, sure, hang on.
While Nick waited on his mom to get to the phone, Caleb went to stare into one of the store windows. He still wasn't sure why Caleb was willing to do this. Even though he knew Caleb, they'd never hung out before. Caleb had transferred into school not long after Nick had, and though they'd had many classes together, Caleb hadn't really spoken to him in school except on rare occasions, such as to tell him to move his punk butt out of the way so Caleb could get to his locker. An extreme loner, in spite of being popular and playing on the football team, Caleb ignored most people. No one knew much about him. He never talked about his home life or parents. If anyone ever asked a question about it, he changed topics. But it was obvious from his clothes and bearing that his parents had more cash than most, and the rumors around school said his dad was one of the richest guys in town. Of course, rumors also claimed Caleb was an ex-con who'd learned to play football in juvie. One rumor even claimed he'd killed his dad and then sold his liver on the black market. Given what Caleb had said a minute ago, Nick figured it must be bleak at his house. Why else would a guy with his kind of looks, money, and popularity be wandering the streets on his way to see two lunatics give lessons on fighting off non-existent creatures? Then again, after all that had happened today, zombies weren't so fictional after all.
Nick, you all right?
His mom asked as she came to the phone.
I'm fine. I'm just a couple of blocks away. I dropped off Liza and met a friend from school on the street.
Hi, Miss Gaucher,
Caleb called into the phone. Nick ignored him.
It's Caleb Malthus. He wanted to know if I could go with him to Bubba's store and attend one of Bubba's classes.
Oh, Lord, what's he teaching tonight?
Zombie survival?
His mom let out a tired sigh.
Is he gonna have any dynamite there again?
I doubt it. The ATF was pretty strict after the last incident. Anytime the authorities step in, Bubba usually lays low for a while.
And how long is it gonna last?
She asked.
He looked at Caleb.
How long is it?
Caleb flashed a mischievous grin.
It's supposed to be an hour, but usually Bubba or Mark has a serious injury about 30 minutes in and we have to break for a hospital run. Sometimes they come back if they can get in and out of the emergency room fast enough or the burns aren't too bad. Most times it ends early. I'd tell her an hour, though, because we need to factor in the time it takes to stop laughing so hard we can walk again. The sad thing was, Caleb wasn't joking.
About an hour, Ma? And you won't be alone?
No, ma'am. Caleb's with me, and he's a good-sized guy.
How old is he?
Nick clenched his teeth in frustration.
Why did he have to play this game with her all the time when it was only a matter of a simple yes or no? Dang, his mom should have been a lawyer.
How old are you?
Caleb paused, as if he had to think about it.
15.
15?
Nick repeated into the phone.
What do his parents do for a living?
This time his temper snapped, and he spoke before he could stop himself.
What does that matter?
It matters to me, and if you want to go, I want an answer.
Nick rolled his eyes at the response that grated on his last nerve.
What do your parents do?
There was a strange look on Caleb's face. When he spoke, his tone was completely stoic.
My dad's a broker, and my mom is his eternal unwilling concubine who sold her soul to him to buy the equivalent of a Ferrari.
Nick let out a long breath. Caleb definitely had a way with words.
His dad's a stockbroker.
His mom?
She's a housewife.
His mother hesitated before she continued grilling him.
Is he a good boy?
No, Mom, he's Satan incarnate. In fact, once it's over, we're gonna get liquored up and tattooed, then find some cheap hoes and have a good time with his trust fund.
Caleb laughed. His mom, however, did not share that sense of humor.
Don't you take that tone with me, Nick O'Shea. I ground you till you're old and gray. Now answer my question.
Would she never appreciate his sarcasm? Realizing he had to play nice, Nick took the attitude out of his voice.
Yes, he's a good boy. Never been in trouble at school, and he's on the honor roll. Captain of the football team. All-around psycho serial killer who hides bodies in the fridge whenever his parents go out of town.
Well, he tried to remove all sarcasm. Thing was, for him, it was an impossible task.
Caleb laughed again, then leaned in to speak so that Nick's mom could hear him.
I also eat babies for breakfast and torture small animals for fun. My therapist says that I'm making real progress, though.
His mother responded with a sharp note.
Don't you boys get smart with me.
Nick grinned at Caleb.
Sorry, Mom. We couldn't resist.
She spoke to her boss, then came back to Nick.
All right, you can go, but I want you here in an hour.
Yes, ma'am, I'll be there.
I love you, baby.
Nick felt his face turn bright red as he turned away from Caleb.
I love you too,
he said in a low tone. Then he hung up the phone and returned it to Caleb.
I don't want to hear no crap from you about that.
Caleb held his hands up.
Don't worry. I wish I had a mom I could love. Mine's a psycho hose beast who begrudges me every breath I take. Besides, you didn't make kissing noises at her, so what's the mock?
This time, and it was only because Caleb was here that he didn't. Caleb put the phone in his pocket and led the way towards Bubba's store. As they walked, Nick's thoughts went back to Stone and the oddity of their meeting.
What do you think Stone was doing behind Liza's store?
It wasn't like him to be out alone. His brand of cowardice usually needed an audience to perform for. Caleb jerked his chin in the direction of the full moon.
He was probably prowling around with his buds and found some dumpsters with trash in them to sniff.
Huh?
It's a full moon, Nick. I'm sure the animal in Stone took over. He was probably trying to teleport somewhere, and because of his young age, screwed up the jump. I think he landed behind the doll store because Liza was summoning the gods earlier tonight and her powers called out to him or something. They might have even interfered with his.
Nick snorted at his worthless answer.
Ah, guy, you're not gonna start with all that werewolf crap too, are you?
You don't believe in them.
I only believe in zombies and only because I've seen them today. The rest? Total caca.
Caleb shook his head.
You live in New Orleans, and you're Catholic, not to mention friends with Bubba and Mark. Yeah, you don't believe in demons, werewolves, or vampires.
The only vampires I've ever seen are goths trying to get a glimpse of Anne Rice's house, who drink strawberry sodas and tell each other it's blood.
You're such a skeptic.
And Nick took a lot of pride in that, too. He didn't like the idea of anyone putting anything over on him. Better to be jaded than a victim.
Take it you're not?
I believe in it all.
Why?
Come on, Nick. Haven't you ever been walking down the street and just felt the hand of evil brush down your spine? You know that tingle, that sense that something isn't right, but you don't know what it is? That's a demon by your side, boy. He's sizing you up to toy with.
Nick didn't believe a word of what he was trying to sell.
You're just trying to mess with my head.
I'm trying to prepare you for the real world.
The real world is getting a good job, paying your bills, and keeping your nose clean.
Staying off death row. Caleb gave him an arch stare.
Wow. You've totally bought into that namby-pamby status quo.
It's not status quo, it's the truth.
Whatever you say.
Caleb stepped up on the curb as they reached the Triple B. He moved ahead and opened the door to let Nick enter first.
Store's closed, there's no classes to...
Mark's voice broke off as he came out of the back room and saw them. Oh, it's you guys, come on in. Nick scowled at the strange welcome. What's going on? Mark didn't answer as he walked past them and went to the door they just entered through, locked it, then turned the closed sign around.
You won't believe this.
He motioned for them to follow him into the back room.
Oh, goody. He couldn't wait. Whenever Mark uttered those words, it was always a doozy.
But the minute he entered the back, Nick pulled up short. Bubba and Madug were sitting in front of the computer. Ah, that little wanker. How could Madug be here after not picking up the phone all day? Nick wanted to choke him. Madug's glasses were slightly askew on his nose as he tugged at his short hair while reading through the code on the screen.
How did he get here?
Nick asked Mark. Mark gave him a droll stare.
Walked?
Nick scoffed at him. Seriously, after all we've done to locate him today, when did he pop in?
Couple hours ago.
Oblivious to them, Madug pointed to a line of code.
See, Bubba, that's what I was talking about. This algorithm was designed to subliminally repress their anterior cingulate cortex, while this one stimulated the orbital frontal cortex and the amygdala, thereby raising their serotonin levels.
Nick scowled at Caleb, who thankfully looked as confused as he felt. Bubba and Mark, however, seemed to be fluent in the geek speak that left him baffled.
Yeah, Bubba scratched at the stubble on his chin. But I don't see how that gave you control of the hypothalamus.
It doesn't really. Only the somatic nervous system should be affected with a small byproduct of elevated stress in the hypothalamus that should have inhibited his aggressive behavior. What I can't figure out is how I lost control. What did I miss, Bubba?
Nick cleared his throat. I can tell you what I'm missing.
A clue.
What are you people talking about? Mark cut a sideways look to Nick.
Zombie hunter.
Nick had to bite his tongue to not respond with a no duh.
And that would be different from all the other discussions you guys have had.
How? Mark let out an aggravated breath.
Not killing zombies, Nick. Playing them.
Madug turned toward Nick to answer.
I invented a video game called Zombie Hunter. That's what we're working on.
Nick smiled. Oh, that's cool. Can I play?
No,
Mark, Bubba, and Madug shouted all at once. Bubba took a swig of his soda.
Trust us, Nick. This is one game you don't want any part of.
Why?
Madug pinned a gimlet stare on him.
Because anyone who plays it gets turned into a zombie.
Oh, yeah, right. Nick didn't believe that for one second.
Bullcrap.
No, man, it's true.
Bubba indicated Madug with the can in his hand.
Your little friend here is quite brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant at getting shoved into lockers. Nick didn't understand how Madug could be bright enough to figure out how to program a game, but not fly under the radar of the people who wanted to abuse him. Madug pushed his glasses up his nose.
I learned that a specific sequence of light and sound can actually alter brainwaves and override them. See, the brain is like a computer, and if you can bypass certain programming, you can hack in and change someone's core hard drive.
Nick had to give him credit. It sounded impressive.
How did you learn this stuff?
My mom's a neurosurgeon at Tulane, and my dad's a research criminal neurologist. They have really boring conversations at the dinner table and force me to listen to them while I eat my mom's really bad cooking.
My dad's doing a study right now on ways to inhibit violent behavior, which is what gave me the idea for the game. I took his notes, did some independent research, and then had Bubba teach me the core programming to build levels for the game that would alter their brain pattern.
Caleb hit Nick in his good shoulder. See what you can learn when you listen to your parents?
Nick scoffed. That ain't what my parents talk about. But if anyone ever wanted to learn how to pole dance or gut a human being, Nick was the one to talk to. That, however, was another topic and not helpful tonight at all.
So, who has the game? Nick asked Modug.
I gave a copy to Brian because he was always messing with me. I wanted to see if I could reprogram him to stress out whenever he felt the urge to come at me. Instead of getting pleasure, bullying would increase his fear and make him pull back. That was the plan.
Bubba took another drink. He was Madog's guinea pig.
Madog looked sick over that comment.
Yeah, and now I can't find the game. I don't know who has it, but apparently other people have been playing it, which is why we have zombies cropping up all over the place.
Bubba snorted.
Yeah, two and three at a time, because God forbid kids should do what we did back in the old days and play in a room by ourselves. What kind of geeks are they raising nowadays? Geeks with friends who play video games together? Who ever heard of such? It's the end of days, I'm telling you all.
Nick was confused by his outburst. But, Bubba, aren't you and Mark friends?
Oh, hell no. Mark's not my friend, he's my minion.
Mark stiffened. I prefer sidekick. I tried once for Padawan, but Bubba wigged out, saying that mentors are always killed off in books and movies, and he'd be damned if he was going to die once he taught me everything I needed to know about killing zombies.
Then why let you be his sidekick? Isn't that the same thing? Nick asked.
Mark laughed.
No, in the movies, the sidekicks are the ones who die.
Nick wasn't about to touch that screwed-up logic. Bubba ignored him as he continued speaking.
And because Mata had it programmed to repel Brian from him, we think the programming is backwards, and it's making them seek him out instead, so we need to rework the code to switch him back to normal.
That sounded good, but Nick only had one problem with this theory.
So why are they coming after me?
Bubba and Modug gaped at him.
What?
Two of them, a few hours ago, tracked me down at work, Nick explained. They almost had me, too.
Bubba shook his head in denial.
That's not possible. The programming only works around Modug and his DNA.
Nick held up his good arm to show them the bandage where he'd been bitten.
Again.
Possible or not, they tried to turn me into a Nick McNugget.
Bubba grabbed his arm, pulled the bandage back, and studied his two wounds.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Nick was aghast at his nonchalance. It might have been funny had it been happening to Stone and not to him, but right now, he didn't exactly have a sense of humor about being a zombie chew toy.
I ain't your science experiment, Bubba. I don't want to be interesting, and I definitely don't want to be a nubby treat for the zombies.
Bubba looked at Modug.
Why would they try to eat Nick?
Modug shrugged.
I don't know why they're trying to eat anyone, period. The program was to calm them down and make them passive, not aggressive.
Epic fail, dude, Nick said. Modug looked back at his code before he responded to Nick's outburst.
From what I've observed today, when the programming kicks in, they attack whoever they're around, but I haven't seen them tracking anyone except me, and I still haven't figured out why they're stalking me and not quivering in fear.
Caleb crossed his arms over his chest.
You turn them into zombies, Modug. They're after your brains.
Nick laughed.
I'd say it's because they're all mindless jocks, but that might offend you.
Yeah, and then I'd have to break your other arm.
Bubba set his drink down.
Don't make me have to separate the two of you. I'm out of patience with kids today.
He indicated the smashed cabinets from earlier. I still want to know who to sue to get my store fixed.
I'm a turnip.
Nick pointed to Madag. Sue the rich kid who started it. Before Madag could defend himself, there was a sharp thud against the door, followed by the sounds of someone moaning while trying to get in. Mark leaned his head against the wall as if he were in agony.
Please let that be Tabitha playing a prank.
Bubba hefted his axe from its peg on the wall.
Guard the geek, he said to Mark. I'm gonna check it out.
Mark moaned even louder. Please don't let it be another cop. I'm out of bail money. He looked at Nick.
Wait a minute. I could sell you on eBay and make a killing.
Nick pointed to his busted arm.
Not in my current condition. You'd have to sell Caleb or Madag. I'm sure there's someone willing to buy two perfectly good white boys.
He leaned forward to look past Mark, who had thankfully bathed the scent of duck urine off him, to see who was at the door. With the axe cocked on his shoulder, Bubba unlocked it, and a group of goths spilled into the store. They were so excited that they were talking over each other to the point Nick couldn't understand any of them. The last one in let loose a whistle so piercing it echoed. As she turned toward him, Nick recognized Tabitha, decked out in pants so tight he was sure they were illegal in some states. Probably this one. She looked up at Bubba.
We need supplies, B. Lots and lots of supplies.
Bubba scowled.
Why? What's going on?
Who let loose the zombies? One of the guys asked.
Yeah, and they don't move slow, another inserted. They're like super zombie mutants on speed.
The tallest of the guys pointed to his swollen and red eye.
They look like a rival football team that I swear we played a couple of weeks back, which is how I got the black eye. I was trying to keep Tabitha from committing murder.
Madag moved past Nick, his mouth hanging open.
Eric? Is that you?
The one holding his eye turned with a stern frown. His black hair was teased to stand out all over his head like Rob Smith from The Cure. He wore even more makeup than Tabitha, which included black lipstick, guyliner, and black blush. Even his fingernails were painted black, a color that swathed them from head to toe.
What's my kid brother doing here? Mazel tov, Eric.
Bubba slapped him on the back so hard he staggered.
Your brother is the one who gave us the zombies.
Eric's face was a mask of disbelief.
You've got to be kidding me.
Madag?
Eric turned on his brother then.
What the heck? You doing?
Mom and Dad are gonna ground you for life.
I know, Madag said wistfully. I'm trying to undo it, but...
He shook his head as if he'd had a thought and was banishing it.
Never mind. You're worthless. You haven't passed a science test since fourth grade.
Eric shoved him. Madag pushed back.
Don't start with me, you cross-dressing freak. I can't believe I share a common gene with you. I swear, Mom and Dad found you at a rest stop.
They found you in a toilet drain, jerkweed.
Tabitha separated them.
Quit, you two. Save your energy for killing what's important, the undead.
Bubba rested the top of the axe against the floor.
Hang on a minute, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but since what we're dealing with is innocent kids Madag messed with and a handful of really stupid adults who should have had a life other than playing video games, we can't kill them.
He passed a stern look to Tabitha.
These ain't the undead, Tabby. They're living, breathing morons, and we have to save them.
Tabitha sighed in disgust.
I'd rather stake them all and let God sort them out.
And I'd rather not go to jail for the rest of my life, Eric said sternly. No offense, but I know what they do to cute guys in prison, and I'm way too cute to be resisted.
Mark snorted.
Please, your worst problem with that black lipstick and long hair is that they'll mistake you for a woman. I highly doubt they'd lock you up with the men dressed in that
get up. More like you'd go in with the prostitutes. Hey, you know, lockup might not be so bad for you.
ADD applicants, Bubba snapped. Can I have your attention for a minute? We need to get out there and find these people before they eat anyone else. Bring them here so we can try to undo what Modog did.
Eric pursed his lips. Where are we gonna put them, the tub? Bubba glowered at Eric before he went to the wall, pulled down a gun, and showed a hidden cell. One that was completely padded and with steel reinforcements and restraints hanging from the ceiling. Nick had never seen anything like that in his life.
Tabitha laughed. Oh my God, Bubba has a sex dungeon.
Bubba narrowed his glare on her.
You're too young to know about such things.
Are you kidding? My aunt owns Pandora's Box on Bourbon Street. From the looks of those restraints, I think you went shopping there.
Bubba made a sound of deep aggravation as he glanced at Eric.
Can you muzzle her?
How do you think I got the black eye? And for your information, she don't hit like a girl. She might be from an all-estrogen family, but some dude trained her well.
Mark arched one brow.
Looks like bad eyeliner to me. You sure you got hit by a girl?
Bubba whistled.
And we've lost focus again, people. I swear it's like herding cats. For the next 5 minutes, I want all of you to banish the sarcasm and focus. I know I'm asking for a miracle, but this is life and death, okay?
All right, they said in unison. Bubba nodded at all of them.
We have got to protect the city. I want all of you out there patrolling for zombies. When you find them, stake them.
Tabitha pulled out one of her steel spikes to illustrate her words. Bubba snatched it from her.
No. Get them to chase you back here, where Mark and I will be waiting to trank them. Is everyone clear? No murder? No bloodshed?
Tabitha rolled her eyes.
What a waste of a good night.
Modog was aghast as he looked at his older brother.
Do Mom and Dad know you're dating a homicidal lunatic?
No, and if you tell them, I'll superglue your fingertips to your keyboard.
A tick started in Modog's jaw as his cheeks turned bright red.
Mom said if you ever do that again, she's gonna shave your head while you sleep. Children, Bubba shouted. There are dangerous creatures out there. Let's go get them.
Modog took a step for the door. Bubba pulled him to a stop and forced him back toward the storeroom.
Not you. We need you to stay here and keep working on a cure.
Caleb looked at Nick.
You ready for this?
Nick checked his watch.
Only for the next 45 minutes. After that, I get grounded.
Come on, Cinderella. Let's get started before you turn into a pumpkin.
Caleb led him out of the store and down the street toward their high school, which made sense since it was where all of this started.
And my worst fear this morning was being late. Who knew he'd end up having to be afraid of having his brains ripped out and devoured? Wonder if I should start carrying a chainsaw to school. That wasn't on their anti-weapons list.
As they walked, his thoughts went to Modog and his family.
Don't you think it's odd that Modog's brother doesn't go to school with us?
Caleb put his hands in his back pockets.
Probably too dumb to get in.
You think?
Genetics doesn't always rule intellect. Believe me, I come from a long line of really stupid people. Scares me that I swim in their gene pool, yet here I am, a hell of a lot smarter than they are.
Nick didn't even want to think about his gene pool for fear of the infection it might contain. He lived in constant terror that one day a switch would turn on in his head and make him the monster his father was. Every time he tried to talk to his mom about it, she told him he was ridiculous. And yet, he couldn't shake the feeling that there was something inside him dying to get out. Something sinister, cold, and unfeeling.
You have any sibs?
He asked Caleb, trying to distract himself from that line of thought.
Not full-blooded. I really don't count the others. What about you?
No.
Caleb nodded.
So what does your dad do, Nick?
I don't talk about my dad. To anyone. Bubba and Mark were the only two who knew his dad was a felon. To the rest of the world, he never said anything. He's not part of our lives, and I want to keep it that way.
I understand. Don't have much to do with mine, either.
Why not?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you, but that's okay. That which doesn't kill us just requires a few centuries of therapy.
Yeah, and usually a lot of Tylenol.
Caleb laughed. Hey, I tell you what, if we spread out, we can cover more ground. Want to meet back up at the cathedral?
Sure.
All right, I'll see you there.
Nick headed down the side street that would connect him to Bourbon, which was thronging with people who could be the next victims. Like you could tell the difference between a zombie and a drunk tourist. That would be challenging. But if he were a zombie looking for business, that's where he'd head. And as he'd noted, they would blend in seamlessly there. As he walked down the street, he noticed that the buzzing in the street lamps was getting louder. He slowed as he came even to the LaLaurie Mansion, the most haunted and the most evil place in all of New Orleans. If there was such a thing as a hellmouth, this place stood on it. Ever since he was a kid, it had given him the creeps. Tonight, more so than normal. A sudden wind whipped down the street, stirring his hair and raising a chill on his neck as a huge raven flew over his head to land on the upper wrought iron balcony where it seemed to stare down at him. I know I sound crazy, but I swear that bird is watching me. It cocked its head. Yeah, that's creepy as all get out. Just like the building itself. In that house, dozens of people had been brutally tortured and murdered in ways his mom wouldn't even talk about. Every family who'd owned it since the LaLauries had reported seeing and hearing the ghosts of those who'd lost their lives to Delphine LaLaurie's psychotic cruelty. Something that had been so atrocious, her own cook had set fire to the kitchen trying to kill herself to escape the madwoman. Even the seasoned firemen who were used to dealing with death and gore had vomited when they'd uncovered the mutilated victims Delphine had left behind.
Help me?
Nick turned around, trying to see who had spoken. It sounded like a child's voice.
I'm so scared. Why can't I see? Is anyone there?
I'm here, Nick called. Where are you?
Disembodied laughter rang out. The light above him shattered. Cursing, Nick jumped back as glass rained down on him.
He saw the shadow of a little girl by the side of the house.
Help me find my mommy, please.
She walked into the small alcove that led to the interior garden.
Wait!
Nick closed the distance between them, wanting to help her. He reached out to pull her to a stop. His hand passed right through her body.
What